Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Genesis chapter 2. Look again at a very exciting, very close to home section of Scripture. Very close to home. Genesis 2, I'd like to start reading at verse 18 to the end of the chapter. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib with which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word. We have nothing else like it at all on earth. Even the best commentaries of men are not the same. So, Lord, we just bow before you as we come to your word, asking your Spirit to give understanding and insight into it. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives, for your working in our midst, in our church, in our families, in our personal lives. Lord, for I know whether we are aware of it or not, you are at work always. And we pray that you're working your goodwill out for us personally, for our families, our children, our grandchildren. Your goodwill. And Lord, we pray for your word as it goes out around the world. Thank you we have the opportunity of sharing in the ministry of others as we support them and can pray for them. Lord, for your blessing there and for those who are coming to faith in Jesus, because your word is powerful and your messengers are true, we are thankful. And Lord, thank you. We have the opportunity this weekend in our nation, in our culture, to think and remember those who have given their lives in the service, in the armed forces. Lord, that we may be here and just enjoy the freedoms we have and other peoples around the world. And we thank you, such great sacrifice. And yet, mirroring the sacrifice of your son Jesus in just a small way, as Lord, you gave yourself for us, who at that time were your enemies. So, Lord, thank you. And again, for those over us in authority, we pray for them. We pray your will be done. For, Lord, you're on the throne. And we pray again for the Supreme Court at this time, especially its deliberations as far as it's looking at the whole realm of marriage. Who would have thought? So, Lord, if you can direct the heart of the king, you can direct their hearts. We'd pray that our country would honor your word as it speaks to marriage. So, Lord, again, as we're here, ask the blessing of your Spirit. Give us ears to hear, hearts that are open that will engage. And, Lord, speak to me. Speak to us for our good and for the glory of Jesus in and through our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the nation's largest public school systems is preparing to include gender identity in the classroom. Fairfax County Public Schools, Fairfax, Virginia, released a report recommending changes to their family life curriculum, grades 7 through 12. Lessons on sexual fluidity is the new term. And the spectrum, basically the idea that there's no such thing as 100% boys or 100% girls. Peter Sprigg, Family Research Council, human beings are created male and female, but the current ideology goes beyond that. It tells us you can be both genders, you can be no gender, you can be a gender you make up for yourself, and we're supposed to affirm it all. And more and more. I was surprised. A former professor and dean of theology at Azusa Pacific University, Los Angeles, came out. I was dying last year because I couldn't live. I tried to be the best Christian woman I could, and today I'm the best Christian and the best person I can be, because she came out. Heather Ann Clements came out as Heath Adam Ackley. Now, that's one thing. But the effect upon students, one student, a psychology major, senior, pre-law minor, says this basically mocks God's creation as male and female. However, another freshman, Margaret Vanderby, said she's the best professor I've ever had. Here's her quote. This is a freshman's quote. As a lesbian and practicing Christian. I not only agree with her, I'm summing it up, but I hold these ideals to be true in my own life. Okay, there's the confusion. As a lesbian and practicing Christian, and away it goes. Confusion. I have 3 points to this message. Good 3-point message. The good, the bad, and the good. 3 points. Good. Genesis 2. I'm sorry, Genesis 1:27, didn't read it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Male and female. Owen Strachan has written, the Bible teaches it's a different perspective. Manhood and womanhood is not incidental. It is given us by God as a gift. We inhabit our God-created bodies as vessels of delight, temples of the Spirit. Our gender sexuality points to what theologians call complementary. Men and women are a kind, but we're not the same. We complement one another. This is according to God's original design. He created Adam. But there was not, verse 18, chapter 2, a helper. By the way, helper, comparable, it's all one word in the Hebrew. It's just one word. So whatever your translation is, you could have one word there. It's just one, helper. Helper for him. So the Lord made Eve. He writes, she instantly delighted Adam when she brought him. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, he cried. Her womanhood did not escape Adam. It captivated him. Good description. God's design for gender. God's design for marriage. Genesis chapter 2 that we read. It's from God. It's not from culture. It's not society. It's not man-made. Male and female, equal as God's image bearers, but different. Different. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Different. Different roles in the home and in the church. Different. One writer says, equal, but not interchangeable. You cannot swap male and female in and out of different roles even without consequences. Two lines of thought. Both marriage and genderness. This is now the bad, because everything that God made was good. Two lines, you would go in a battle, two lines of attack. Attack on two fronts. Attack on gender. Attack on marriage. I don't even have to say much about that at this point. However, it just shows itself in so many ways. Roman Catholic orphanages have been threatened with legal action if they don't accept homosexual couples when considering adoption. In Colorado, there are laws now threatening churches, pro-homosexual laws. They provide an exemption, listen to the language, allowing religious groups to continue teaching inside their doors the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality. Think about that. Allowing inside the box, allowing it, but don't go outside. A Florida teacher has recently been suspended for posting anti-homosexual views on marriage on his Facebook page. It seems like making a personal comment on your personal time, on your personal computer, in your personal house was not acceptable. Suspension. However, I won't even go into this, but one sentence. In Canada, Canada is further ahead in this or further down the tube in this than we are. If you want examples, in Canada, a human rights tribunal, that's what they're called. Human Rights Tribunal ordered a Christian pastor to renounce his faith and never again express moral opposition to homosexuality. Human Rights Tribunal. And that's Canada. And on it goes. Showing itself in so many ways. Where does this start? Where does this all start? Well, if you sneak ahead of you to the next verse that I didn't read of chapter 3, verse 1, you'll have where all sin starts. And we'll get to this, Lord willing. The serpent said to the woman, "Has God indeed said?" And you just stop right there. Where does it all start? Where does sin start? Has God said? Has God said that men and women are created by God and in His image? Psalm 139 takes us from God's perspective into the womb of a mother. For you, God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Has God said? Because if you question that, then are we not just evolved animals as human beings? We've looked at this exhaustively in Genesis chapter 1. Are we not evolved animals? And if we are only evolved animals, then what does marriage mean? If we are just animals, what does it mean? From Romans 1, and I won't read the whole thing. You can turn there if you'd like, Romans chapter 1. It's a long section. We've looked at it a while back, Sunday evenings, when we've been going through the book of Romans. But Romans chapter 1, just highlight a couple things because it just goes down. Romans 1:21, for all they knew, generally people, back in ancient history, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, Romans 1:21, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Thoughts. And then Romans 1:26, and for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. My back on. Ephesians 4:17. Therefore, I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you, now you new Christians, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, non-Christians, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. There we go. Mind, heart, given themselves over uncleanness. Thoughts, passions, filled with. Change the thinking. Incorporate the emotions, and then let it go from there. You know, there's just so much that is just, and even the arguments, which are so emotionally focused. It's like the whole thing is now an emotional debate over gender and marriage. It's just an emotional thing. And by the way, this uncleanness is destructive. 2% of the United States, 2% of the United States population, not 10% or more, 2% of the U.S. population is homosexual, and yet it accounts, especially male, for 61% of HIV infection. 61%. Homosexuals are about 50% more likely to suffer from depression and engage in substance abuse than the rest of the population. This is from health24.com. The risk of suicide jumps over 200% if a person is engaged in that lifestyle. And the lifespan of an average homosexual person is 24 years less. And that's statistics. That's out of the United States, and that's also out of Denmark, which is further down the road than we are. Dangerous. Nah, I won't even read it. Where does it all start? Has God really said? Has God said? Okay, practicality. What is the cause, though? Studies find, by and large, overall, disconnect in the family with the parent, especially with the dad, coupled with abuse. The statistics have it that in a same gender family raising children, there is an incredible amount more possibility of child abuse going on than in a male-female marriage regular family. The statistics are through the roof. There's no comparison. Disconnect and abuse and trauma. Now, what's the progression? I know this is still all bad, but what's the progression? One writer had an interesting idea, starting with feminism. Feminism. Confusion. Confusion. Male and female roles. Feminism. To genderism. I'll use the word. Confusion. Actually, to what it means to be male or female. Confusion. Genderism. And now, confusion as to who you can marry. Confusion. But there's one more, because it has to do with confusion regarding marriage itself. Genesis 2, if you're not back there already, we'll come back to there. Confusion regarding marriage itself, Genesis 2, at 22. The Lord created the woman, and it says at the end of the verse, he brought her to the man, and then in 23, Adam declared. And then in 24, the joining. There's your marriage ceremony. A ceremony from God himself. Walking her, bringing her to the man. And then the man declares. This is the one for me. He declares. And then the joining, right? That's biblical. Therefore, man, and be joined to his wife. So, confusion. What I mean about marriage. You don't have to recognize God's bringing. You don't have to recognize the declaration. It's just sort of, just join. Just join. Together without marriage. Used to be called common law. Some sites still call it that. And at the same time, though, divorce laws were slackened. It's all part of the progress. Divorce laws were slackened. Matthew chapter 19, interesting conversation, short between the Pharisees to Jesus. The Pharisees are talking about marriage. Don't we have rationale for just giving divorce for just any old reason? And that's about how it puts it. Just for anything whatsoever. Confusion regarding marriage and divorce. Divorce for any reason. And Jesus said, no. But the courts, through time in our culture, have said, divorce for any reason? Pretty well. Pretty well. Incompatibility? You know, change your mind? Okay. Pretty well. Very interesting. Look at that. Matthew 19, just the first couple of verses. The confusion, the divorce laws slackened, the recognition of does marriage actually mean anything? And then male and female roles, what it means to be male and female, and now marriage again in itself in a different way. The progress. So what may happen next? I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet. But you don't have to be in these kind of ways. Judges 21:25, I'll just tell you what it means if you want to look it up sometime. Judges 21:25, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's it. Now that is more than confusion. One writer, Owen Strachan, that I read some of his, calls it chaos and moral anarchy. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And if the Supreme Court will okay the legality of marriage, then expect in time marriage to be okayed with three or four people, or with your sister, or with your brother. And on it goes. Expect that churches who do not perform, and some of this is going on in Canada, who do not perform gay marriages will be persecuted and or prosecuted. Expect it. Expect that believers who stand up for the standards of God's word, definition of marriage, to be more marginalized and even persecuted than ever before. Now, why? Because everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Because people want to do whatever they want to do. And they don't want to be told, well, that's wrong. That's just wrong. They don't want to be told that. And that's why. However, that's the bad. Let's end with the good. God's design for gender, male and female, God's design for marriage, a man, a woman together. Bad, the way things are going. Good, what can we do? First of all, God is still on the throne. He's never stepped off. He's never caught by surprise. Oh, they're doing that. Oh, the Supreme Court of what is thinking about what? What am I going to do? Gabriel, where are you when I need you? God is still on the throne. He is still sovereign. He is in control. Be strong in the Lord and in his word. And prayer. And pray. Be strong in the Lord and in his word and pray. You might think, well, whatever. Oh, no, no, no. No, that's not a whatever. That is how we get strong in the Lord, in his word and pray. Number two, for those of you with children or grandchildren, train your children in God's truth. Bring them up in it. Dads, moms, especially dad, bond with your kids, especially your sons. Show them what a man is who can follow Christ, love him, love his wife, their mother, love his family, them, and love others. Show them what that looks like. What they know a man, moms too, moms, you're not off the hook. Because you have little boys, at some point those boys are going to be more attracted to their dad for boy things. It's okay. Moms with your daughters, though, so that your daughters can see a mom, a woman who loves Jesus and what that means and loves her husband and loves her family and loves others. Equally important because it's both these days, male and female. Be strong in the Lord. Bring up your children. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Remember, lost people. Now, so I guess I haven't read the parts that I should read from Romans chapter 1. If this is going to go on the internet, get me in trouble. Just put it on the internet. Look at Romans chapter 1. Just read it through, and it's all correct. It's God's perspective, and that's enough to do you in. Get me in trouble. Visit me in jail. Share the gospel, because lost people, whatever title they wear, are just lost people. They're lost people. It doesn't matter. And I'll read something at the very end about that, but it doesn't matter. They're lost. And they are confused. Because you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have God's word, and you have their conscience. Now you might say, well, what conscience? No. Their conscience. On your behalf. Supreme Court, discussing oral arguments, having conservative and liberal lawyers, one of the liberal pro-gay marriage lawyers, oral arguments back and forth. Judge Alito, speaking to one of these liberal lawyers. There are four people, two men and two women. And let's say they're all consenting adults. They're all highly educated. He says, they're all lawyers. Some laughter. Now, what would be the ground under the logic of the decision that you would like us to hand down in this case? What would be the logic of denying them for, two men, two women, for denying them the same right, that is, to apply for a marriage license? And the liberal lawyer says, number one, I assume that the states would rush in and say that when you're talking about multiple people joining into a relationship, that is not the same thing that we've had in marriage, which is on the mutual support and consent of two people. Well, where'd they get that idea? They can't even argue more. They just have to go with two. Where'd they get that? They're piggybacking. They're borrowing from the concept of marriage in the Bible, that it's two. Now, we know it's the foot in the crack in the door, but that's all they can argue, because they know better. Writer Michael Brown, this is even more concise. A gay man and his partner once asked me, quote, unquote, but how can you say our relationship is wrong? We're not hurting anyone, and there's no victim. He says, I asked him, so would you approve of two adult gay brothers having a relationship? They both replied, that is so wrong. Yet when I pressed them further, they could not say why. Their relationship was fine, but that the two consenting brothers was not. Oh, conscience. Conscience. So you have the word of God, and there's conscience. And thirdly, on sharing the gospel can change people. Just let me read it for you. You can note it, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. I'll just read it. Paul writing to the Corinthians. Corinth, think San Francisco on steroids. Corinth, big time. Christians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Quite a list, see? Even the Bible is just not focused on one. It's like, all of this, sin before God, will not inherit. And then he goes, and such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. Because the gospel can change people. That's good. That's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Let's pray its blessing. Lord, for myself, for each of us here, because if we aren't aware of someone who's caught in blindness and confusion and sin in these ways, we probably will be someday. Might be a person we know who works somewhere, or even in a town this size, or maybe a relative, or a friend of someone who's a friend of someone. So Lord, help us to be caring, compassionate, biblical, authentic, genuine. We're not on a holy high horse. We're sinners too, who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by throwing ourselves at the foot of the cross and saying, Lord, you died to save me from eternal condemnation, and I take you as my Savior. I need you. And you saved us. So in that sense, our title might have been different, but we're no different really in sin. So Lord, help us in realizing that, and that you might want to use us to help people out of darkness and confusion, because you are. You are doing that. You are. So Lord, help us to be people of your word who know it, who speak to you in prayer, our families to raise them rightly, and Lord, to realize your word is powerful. And people who are still, they're still created in the image of God, flawed, but in the image of God, and you died for them. And they know. So Lord, use us. Please. For their eternal good. For your glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.